Hey Greg, can you hear us?
Yep, I can hear you fine.
Alrighty, give me one second here. Get you spotlighted. All right, well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. We are now joined by our second place finisher, Greg Golding, driver of the number 7 Chevrolet for SS Greenlight Racing. Crazy race, crazy last lap there. Can you just, what does this mean? Can you just talk us through getting the second place finish at Daytona?
Oh, it means the world to me. You know, I wasn't in this race a week and a half ago, and walk-ons and Bobby Dotter and everybody, SS Greenlight Racing, Panini, they said, you know what, if we can get an engine from ECR and put Gray in and go to Daytona and have a chance to win, let's go do it. So I'm just very fortunate and appreciative. And like I said in my interview earlier, you know, kids dream about having a chance to win at Daytona. I've been dreaming about this since I was, you know, 5 years old in kindergarten, writing about it in my kindergarten class. So, you know, it just means a whole lot to me, my team, and I know my team's had a tough year this year. It was, you know, nice to come back. And like I said, this is only my second Xfinity race of the year, and I wish and hope I can be full-time next year. But all in all, about tonight's race, I can kind of give you a summary. I mean, it was a heck of a show. I mean, I had a blast behind the wheel and missed a few big wrecks, which was key. I knew once I missed that one big wreck, I'd have a chance to win. Or at least a chance at the end, you know, top 10, top 5, if I put myself in position to get there late. And that's what I did. And I bust through the middle on the back straightaway. I said, this is my chance. I'm not lifting. Whoever turns in front of me, I'm sorry, but I don't get many opportunities to win. And I feel like I really did everything I could to win, just came up short.
Awesome. Well, we are going to open up the floor for questions from the media. As a friendly reminder, if you have a question, please click the raise your hand option, or you can send me a chat and we can get to you. So let's kick it off with Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Gray, when that wreck was happening in front of you, what did you see, and did you think you had a shot to win?
Are you talking about the last wreck on the last
yes,
lap?
Or
the, okay, well, that was a VIP seat to that wreck that I had. I can't believe it. I can't believe they wrecked each other. I mean, I know, you know, they're all trying to race for the win, but you've seen Kolig, you know, over their last year or two, you know, they've done such a great job. So I got to tip my hat to them. They really know how to bully the field, and they do a great job of it. So it was kind of crazy to see them wreck. But thank God I went through the middle. I was running about eighth or ninth, and I just cleared the 20 off of two, and I had a big run. I knew if I stayed in line with the 18 in front of me, I was going to go nowhere. So I saw a small opening through the middle, which there really wasn't a gap there. I kind of forced my way in, and I just had to go for it. And once I got up a few more spots, I'm like, man, if things get hectic right here, you know, getting into three and I'm on the bottom, I have a chance to miss it. Or, you know, if they wreck at the start and finish line, I might have a chance. And man, if the 11 would have just got slowed up a little bit more, I think I could have got back by him, because we just lost so much RPM. I had to get on the apron, and I barely cleared I think it was the 10 or whoever it was that got crashed. I barely cleared him with the right front.
And do you have any more races scheduled this year, either in trucks or Xfinity?
I got a couple more in the Cup Series with Rick Ware Racing and Premium Motorsports, and with Panini as the full-time primary for those races. But I only have, you know, two or three. And to be quite honest, Bob, I really fight for my job and fight for everything I have, every opportunity I get from Panini. And like I said, walk-ons stepped up late last week and said, you know, we believe in you. We think you can go do it. And I'm just so fortunate to have them. And everybody knows this sport takes money and it takes funding. And, you know, I've struggled a little bit this year, but the people that have stuck with me are the ones that mean the most. And, you know, I really want to be back here full time next year, or just something, you know, competitive that I can show up and have days like today. And I know I can do it on other tracks, but, you know, this is kind of my only equalizer as far as equipment, you know, on a normal basis. But Bobby Dotter and SS Greenlight took a chance on me last year, and I was really happy to see them, you know, get Joe and have some drivers in the 07. I wish them nothing but the best for the rest of the season, but I really would like to have, and you know, being a ride with Bobby or somebody that believes in me and thinks I can get the job done, which I know I can. I'm very confident in my ability, and this is what I work for every single day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Jacob Seelman. Go ahead, Jacob.
Thanks, Marissa. Gray, congratulations on the great run. thinking back to Talladega, finished second in that race, kind of, you know, I don't want to say came out of nowhere late in that one too, but certainly made a late charge. Did anything about this run here tonight feel similar to that race from last year at Talladega where you ran second?
Yeah, you know, actually, I feel like this race went a lot better, really. I felt like I was up front pretty much all night. You know, I struggled a little bit to get a little track position early in the race, but most of all, you know, I feel like I was kind of in a contender. You know, I led laps, almost won the first or second stage, whatever it was. You know, so I felt like I put myself in position a lot better than I did at Talladega, and I was way more aggressive. I felt like I was a little bit timid last year, but very aggressive, obviously, at the end. But I felt like tonight I just really went after it all night, and I made sure the moves that I did do were smart, but I played offense all night. So that's what's really fun about it is I just let it all hang out and let the cards fall. And if I give myself a chance, great. If not, I know I didn't leave anything on the table. So, Talladega was amazing. Don't get me wrong. I mean, anytime you have a chance to win a NASCAR race, I'm very appreciative and it's pretty darn cool. But this is Daytona. I mean, nothing against Talladega, but this is the World Center racing. I don't care if it's winning a wheelbarrow race or whatever you want to call it. If you win at Daytona, you know, you've done something. And to say, you know, I had a chance and almost pulled it off is pretty cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Steven Toronto. Go ahead, Steven.
Gray, you had a second at Talladega entering tonight. Now you've got a second at Daytona. You seem to be developing quite a knack for super speedway racing. How did you develop that, and what do you attribute that to?
Yeah, I don't know. That's what's crazy. Me and my dad and my grandfather were walking down the beach the other day, just kind of chilling on some downtime. And we were joking about it. I'm like, when is my luck going to run out on these speedway races? I feel like I miss wrecks by inches, and somehow I'm there at the end, you know? So I guess I'm starting to tell myself that I'm pretty good at this. And I feel like I got a knack for it a little bit. I think my main thing is I watch so much film. Like, I love watching speedway racing, and I've learned a lot from Denny and you know, Joey Logano, Brad. Like, those guys are really, really good, and the moves they make late is what, you know, gives them a chance to win. And I feel like the homework that I do at home and everything that I do going into these speedway races, I know that if you play aggressive and you make the right moves and you run with the right people, normally you'll be there at the end. So I just love them. I have so much fun. Like, tonight was so – I had a smile on my face the entire night, because, once again, I don't get opportunities like this in a – you know, it's a small race team, but it's a pretty good car and a good engine. And so, you know, there's nothing to you know, not play offense about. Just go after it and let it all hang out, and that's what I do. And I feel like it's been working lately. Well, the last couple of years, really.
And speaking of opportunities, it's kind of weird to think of drivers as super speedway specialists, but – I know you said that you want to be back in this series full time, but does it almost help you professionally to, you know, go to car owners for races at Daytona and Talladega and say, hey, if you need a driver, I've done this, I've done that, I can get the job done?
Absolutely. I mean, this helps the resume a lot. You know, once again, this is Daytona, and when you win one, or you run up front, or, you know, anything like that, it's pretty cool. But realistically, I think when I go to car owners, I show them what I did last year. You know, don't get me wrong, I love the speedway racing, and I love the results I've been able to have on them. But the main thing is, last year I ran for Bobby Dodd in the 08 car. I had no DNFs, almost made the playoffs, finished 13th in points, almost won a race, and finished sixth at Bristol. Like, we're a small race team that didn't have ECR engines and the right, you know, all the engineers. I mean, we were a six-man band last year, including my hauler driver. So it's like, it makes you appreciate, you know, now I'm on the sidelines part-time this year. You know, I felt like what I did last year would catapult my career, but we all know it takes funding, and that doesn't bring me down. I know I have a lot to give, and I'm going to fight and claw my way to keep racing and give it everything I have. But I think if I had to show a resume, I'd show what I did last year. I don't tear up equipment, and I give everything I have with very, very little. So if I ever got the call from the right person to go run for a big team, I think I could really be the next story. But, you know, not in a cocky way. I feel confident. I've had so much experience in, you know, smaller equipment. I feel like I'm ready. I'm ready for that opportunity. So whenever that comes, I'll be ready to roll. Trust me.
Thanks, Greg. Great job tonight.
Thank you. Appreciate it, man.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Luis Torres. Go ahead, Luis.
You've alluded it already. How great is to get that runner-up finish under these circumstances where it's just kind of, you went from a battling for fifth to second and get a good run for Bobby Dodder that's given you so much the year before, and now coming back on a partial basis, you got this job done.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it, I mean, at first I got to start off, you know, Bobby Dodder, he's believed in me more than anybody in this sport. And he was one of the first people I ever met when I came to North Carolina when I was 10 years old. I look at him like an uncle, and I know he's a small race team, and it takes funding and it takes partners. And that's why we're fortunate that Panini and walk-ons and everybody helps a little guy like him out. And it's enough to get me in the car and give me a chance to race, you know, Fridays and Saturdays. But realistically, you know, to give him a good run, and I know I can't wait to see him when I get back to the hauler and give him a big hug. He doesn't really show a whole lot of emotion, so I know he's going to be pretty excited. But you know, it just means a lot because, like you said, I'm on a part-time basis, and to come back and give him a good result, not tear up the race car, and you know, that's what's so tough on these small race teams is tearing up equipment and having to rebuild the car. So whenever I have a good result and I don't tear up the car up, I feel pretty good. So I know Bobby is going to be pretty pleased, but just very happy to celebrate at walk-ons and be with my team.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next question from Marty Scala. Go ahead, Marty.
Thanks, Marissa. Great. Congratulations on a great run. You kind of brought this up earlier, but I got to admit, I was surprised that you didn't get a full-time ride for 2020 with how you did with the small.
Yeah, me too, man. I know, right?
With the small teams last year with SS Greenlight. And now you've shown you got another second this time at Daytona, and you got an eighth earlier this year at Talladega. With those stats combined from this year and last year, do you think that this is like a statement to any of the teams that are going to have open rides next year for Xfinity in 2021 that you want to go full-time?
Absolutely. You know, I, if the phone's ringing and people are calling, that's a good thing. And I really hope after this it does. But, you know, I just, like I said, it's such a tough business. I mean, it's so hard on you mentally. I mean, I just think back, you know, a few weeks ago, just sitting on the couch watching the races and knowing that I ran good last year and I proved a lot of people wrong. And unfortunately, I didn't get a ride. But once again, you know, this sport it's hard sometimes. It's, you know, it is a business, and I totally understand that. But, you know, it just gives me a lot more fire. You know, you've seen a lot of guys come from nothing to make it, and I hope I can do that as well. It's just, it looks good for my, you know, my stats, obviously, but I really want to be back full time and try to run for a championship with somebody. So if the phone starts ringing, I'll definitely answer. But I'm just happy to be with SS Greenlight and Bobby Dodder. Like I said, I want to win for him one day, and being a small guy, he's believed in me more than anybody. So if I can give him a win somewhere down the road, hopefully next year, you know, if we can get back full time, then I'll be, it'll feel like a mission accomplished, really.
Appreciate your time, Greg. Congratulations.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. And our final question is going to come from Jared Haas. Go ahead, Jared.
All right. Greg, congratulations for your second place to finish too. Like I said, your car kept up pretty good speed with that lead pack right there, too. Did you guys lease an engine from a motor company, or was that built in-house?
No, that was an ECR engine. Yeah, we're really fortunate that the ECR engine, when I heard there was going to be one last week, you know, I was like, well, man, I know we got a shot. And once again, I have to, you know, tip my hat to walk-ons. They're the ones that stepped up along, you know, with Panini. They're always a support of mine. You know, those guys is, you know, they're the reason why I had a chance tonight. I mean, you have to have horsepower and a decent car to compete. And then once you get those things, the driver can do a whole lot more to, you know, give himself and his team a chance to win. And I knew when we got that call that we were going to have it, you know, I was super, super pumped. So thanks to ECR for giving us a great horsepower. I mean, obviously they won tonight with Colic, so congrats to those guys as well. You know, they provide a great product, but, you know, we don't get them every week, though, so we got to take advantage when we do have them. We got to make sure we get the best results. So pretty happy to have ECR and get that result with that engine under the hood.
All right. Thank you, Greg.
Yep. Thank you, guys.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us, Greg. Congratulations, and we'll see you soon.
Yep. Thank you all so much. Appreciate what you all do. Sure.